Peace be with you. I am Bruce Wozniak. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and lots of other platforms. My sincere thanks for joining me for this and hopefully many other episodes. I do truly appreciate everybody who listens and hope that you enjoy the show enough to want to tell others to listen in as well. I'm grateful for whatever you can do to help spread the word about this ministry, whether that's sending someone an email, a text message, making a phone call, using the share feature in your preferred podcast listening app, or even just a face-to-face conversation. Remember, you do not have to be Catholic and you do not have to be into sports to be impacted by what I bring you each week on this show, whether that is simply entertainment value or help with your faith life or both. So give someone else that same opportunity by letting them know about this show. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net, where you'll find lots to engage with, including logos to click on to follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. There's also a section of the website called For Listeners, where you can submit prayer requests. Last week on the show, during my conversation with women's college basketball coach Tom McConnell, I actually mentioned a prayer request of my own for all of you to please lift up. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. Some coaches give real emotional pregame speeches. Some of them go to great lengths to identify sources where they can pull material from to get their athletes fired up. Circumstances such as a slump, or quite the opposite, the playoffs, might fuel them to dig even deeper and get quite creative. They are investing a lot of time to get their players focused and in the right mindset. Faith-wise, where do you draw your inspiration from? Is it contemporary Christian music? Is it homilies by a particular priest you are moved by? Is it quiet prayer, starting your day off talking to God? Heck, is it this show? Our faith life is not a game, meaning it's not something you take lightly. Just like athletes and coaches getting ready to go into competition, we must prepare ourselves regularly to be active participants in our Catholicism, our Christianity. After all, in the Old Testament, we read in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 19, "Those who cultivate their land will have plenty of food, but those who engage in idle pursuits will have plenty of want." Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest is the Vice President of Community Outreach for the NFL's Seattle Seahawks, having now worked for the team for 25 years. He had served in the U.S. Coast Guard for 22 years, retiring as a commander in 1997. He played football, basketball, and baseball through his high school years and during his 22 years in the Coast Guard. He also coached basketball in military and youth leagues and officiated basketball for 20 years. He serves on the boards of the King County Municipal League, Camp Patriot, and Empower Youth Network. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Mike Flood.
Thank you, Bruce. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm excited to talk to you and the audience.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate you making time for this. And as we can tell from the team you work for, you obviously live in the Pacific Northwest, and you grew up and were raised Catholic there.
Yeah, I went to Catholic school from first grade through my junior year, and then my dad went back in the Marine Corps, and we moved to Virginia my senior year.
And brothers and sisters, how many was the family size?
I have a sister and two brothers. One of my brothers is 14 years younger than me. He loves to go around with me and have people think that he's my son.
And I understand that your folks were very devout and raised the family in the Catholic faith that way.
Yeah, we went to church every Sunday at least, and I was an altar boy. Every day during Lent, I'd go to church. And we prayed the rosary on, especially during a period where the world was in conflict and the church asked everyone to pray. Every Friday night, we got the rosary out and knelt down at the living room couch and said the rosary.
Wow. Wow. So you started to mention this, but you graduated from high school in Virginia. So did you play sports there or at your high school in Seattle or both?
I played varsity basketball and baseball in Virginia. And I played football, basketball, and baseball at Blanchette High School, a Catholic high school in Seattle.
Okay, and I know that you had an opportunity for some leadership. And which high school was that at?
During my high school years in Seattle, the team club at St. Matthew's School needed a president, and I got elected. And it was the first time I ever got to lead people. I was kind of a natural leader anyhow, just in little groups, putting people together. I wasn't the most popular guy in school or the smartest guy in school, but people seemed to follow me in certain ways. So it was fun to lead that group, and it led to other it led to the belief that I could lead, and I got to lead many other groups after that.
Well, there's something you told me in the lead up to today that I would love for you to share with the audience as it relates to how your experience with sports came back around to serve you when you went to Navy flight school.
Yeah, that was critical. When I was playing sports, I wasn't that great. We played everything in my neighborhood. All of us played. But I practiced in the rain. If I had to put the basketball under hot water to keep it from bouncing, to keep it bouncing, that is, when it got cold in the rain, I'd go back in and do that. I'd jump rope every day. I kept a calendar of every day that I played, mostly basketball. And that got me to make the senior, when I was a senior, to make the varsity team back in Virginia, and that was not an easy task. So when I was in flight school, we were flying T-28s in Navy flight school, and it was a plane built in the 1950s. It was on its last leg. We were the last students to fly it. No air conditioning anymore. It smelled like exhaust in the cockpit. It was about 130 in the summertime, and it was so hot, and I had never flown anything before, so I was air sick the first couple times, and I really didn't know what to do. And a lot of people were quitting. Marines and Navy guys with me were saying, that's enough for me. And I thought, you know, this reminds me of football at Blanchette, where I was too skinny and having a tough time, and Coach Merrill was really tough on us. He would have us run up and down stupid hill in the sand in the summertime. And I thought, this is just like that. They're going to have to cut me here in Navy flight school. I'm not quitting. And after a while, I got pretty good. I had some critical flights where I passed beautifully. And after a while, I had a career out of that, thanks to Coach Merrill, who I got to see later on and thank him.
Wow, that's amazing. And obviously, folks, you know that this show has been built for the last 3+ years on the mix of faith and sports. But isn't it great to hear of how a sports experience as a youth turned into something that Mike was able to utilize when it came to the challenge of Navy flight school? So, Mike, thank you for sharing that story with us.
Yeah, you know, another thing that competition told me is it's not just in sports that you compete. It's in how you talk to people. Can you reach people better if you understand them more and are really careful about what you say to them? It's when I was in the Coast Guard and I became an instructor pilot, I went in really early in the morning and looked at old tests and looked at the airplanes and studied everything I could just to compete like that. And it's a motto that Coach Pete Carroll at the Seahawks has here is always compete. And you can do that not just in sports, but in how you live.
Well, back on episode 151 of this show, Art Hill talked about serving in Vietnam and wondering if it was divine intervention watching others around him lose their lives and him surviving by way of, what if I had been there just a moment later or a moment sooner? And Mike, you had a similar experience with a crop dusting incident?
Yeah, when we were living in Florida after in my first tour in the Coast Guard, a beautiful home and a good career, but we wanted to adopt kids, and it was not easy if you're moving around all the time. So I decided, and I also had a yearning to get out and do my own thing. So my wife agreed, and we left our beautiful home in Florida and moved to Kansas, and I bought a crop dusting airplane. And one of my first flights, I hit a treetop with the left wing. I was having a little bit of trouble with the right side of the airplane, and I looked over, and I was spraying trees. And I looked over and I to the right, and I hit a treetop, and it embedded itself like a Christmas tree in the left wing. The plane rolled over to the left about 90 degrees, and I looked down at the ground. I thought, I'm going to die today. And it didn't scare me too much. It was just like a fact. But I managed to straighten the plane out. I'm sure a lot of adrenaline, and I went over some high-tension power lines, landed on a field. The plane broke up a little bit. And so it took a couple hours for me to find people out at the road, and then I got back to town, and one of my buddies, a really rough character, but he said, well, when you get bucked off the horse, you want to get back up, right? And I felt terrible. And I said, yeah, I guess so. So he says, all right, I've got an airplane here. I'm going to let you fly my airplane. You can have it for the rest of the summer. Just pay me back later. So I thought about it for a couple hours, and I got in his airplane that afternoon and went out and finished the flight. And it did kind of feel like getting back up on the horse. And so that that saved us for the summer. I mean, it saved my life, and we got to adopt our son, and I've got to affect thousands of people's lives through my job here. So that's a little bit of a providence or luck type situation. But one more thing about that. That airplane, when I got to the end of the summer, we really needed some money. We were living in pretty poor conditions. And I was thinking, I really need to fly some more to make some more money here. I didn't get any more jobs. So I took the plane down to the mechanic in Pittsburgh, Kansas, and I said, "Hey, can I have an annual inspection?" He called me up the next day and he said, "You know, your ailerons, the controls on the wings, the wires, the pulley that those wires are running over was not moving, and you had maybe one flight left, and you would have had no control over that airplane. That wire was going to break." So if I had gotten more jobs like I wanted, and I probably prayed for, I might not have been around. Instead, I got to live for many more years, and that's how I don't try and judge providence or luck too much in advance. I just realize it after it's happened.
Yeah, that's amazing, and it's clearly a good example of the Lord had plans for you that you needed to be in a position to overcome the incident that you described, and then to have the wherewithal to say, I'm going to take this plane for an inspection. And as you mentioned, everything that you have been able to go on to do, let's not overlook the fact that you mentioned adoption. And then, yes, certainly all the work that you've done with the Seahawks. And, you know, you've mentioned a little bit of adversity there, but we all go through tough times. And Mike, in your case, there is something you call your guiding spirit that I would love for you to share with the audience.
I was in a conference with Pete Carroll and a bunch of high school coaches, and Pete said that he had to develop this himself. But he said, "All of you coaches, you're trying to teach people things all the time. How can you say your own beliefs, state your own philosophy in one or two sentences?" And I was in the back of the room thinking about that myself, and I thought I couldn't do that. So I thought about it for a couple of months and the things that I've learned, and it led me to the statement for myself to seek wisdom, act with confidence and compassion. And so I'm not going to be purely compassionate when the situation calls for toughness, but that's my goal, is to be compassionate, try and understand people, but seek wisdom first.
I like that. I like that. And folks, I'll have you know that Mike credits his ever-developing faith, his family, the help of others, and what he learned through sports. And as you just heard him say, he has developed his own guiding spirit that is an aid to him when he is faced with tough times. And it's my belief, folks, that just being involved in community outreach is an act of Christianity in and of itself. It's being in service to others and putting people first, not yourself, regardless of their age, race, sex, income level, and so on. Clearly, Mike is living out that calling, and I want to dig a little deeper with him into what those situations are that he gets to witness and the impact they have on him, not to mention the community. But first, I would be remiss if I did not talk about my ministry and the work that I'm doing through Catholic Sports Radio to serve God through my time and talent, which is a common call that we hear in our local parishes. I felt called to do this and have been delivering to you a new episode on time every week for more than 3 years now. And while it's said that my reward shall be in heaven, I do need to call upon you, the Catholic Sports Radio community, to help support me as I aim to continue delivering inspiring content with the aim of moving more people closer to Christ. I don't get any income from doing this, nor do I have any sponsors, not to mention that I'm a one-person operation handling everything on and off the air myself, which also means that there are several challenges that I face regularly, one of which are the financial implications of keeping this ministry going. I do my best to report exact costs to you as they come up. You've heard me mention those on a number of episodes. I'm also blessed that I've been able to report to you when guests and listeners have made a financial contribution to my ministry. I'm truly grateful for that help, since I otherwise have to try to find a way to cover all these expenses out of my own pocket. Plus, those also signal to me that people do like what I'm doing and are seeing benefit and getting value from all that I put into this on and off the air. I do please ask you to consider doing the same. On the show website, CatholicSportsRadio.net, there is a blue Donate to CSR button that you can use to contribute securely online in any amount you wish. You put in whatever amount you're comfortable with. There's no drop-down menu of predetermined amounts for you to choose from. Alternatively, as some folks have done instead, You can get in touch with me through the contact section of the website to ask me for the mailing address, and I will write you back with the details for sending a check through the mail. As you've heard me do in the past, I will happily say on the air the name of anyone who contributes, regardless of the amount, or as some have had me do, you can instead choose to remain anonymous. This is something I ask for each week on the show because there is a need, meaning it's not just a formality and I am sincere in my appeal. Do please prayerfully consider what you can do as part of your tithing as it relates to supporting my ministry through a financial contribution. I'm grateful to everyone who listens, and I appreciate whatever you can do to help me continue working to move more people in their faith life through this ministry. Mike, what about that? What about all the work you've done in the community for 25 years now on behalf of the Seahawks? Talk about some of those initiatives and, as I had mentioned, the impact that they have on you as well.
Well, first I want to say thank you for what you do, because the way you converge the values that we get out of sports and our Catholic faith, our Christian faith, is really at the heart of a lot of things that the team is trying to do with people. It's the things that people learn through sports don't always translate into success in life and a smooth life, but every team, no matter whether it's the Seahawks or the youth that we work with, everybody's trying to get people to learn something beyond winning and losing in their experience with sports.
Outstanding.
So thank you for what you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, for us, and first of all, one other thing I wanted to mention, that when we adopted our kids, and I did get back in the Coast Guard, luckily we needed pilots because I developed Crohn's disease back then, and I thought, man, I need a more stable job than crop dusting. So Catholics Community Services is who helped us adopt our two children. So they played a critical role in our life. When I joined the Seahawks, part of the reason was that I'd gone to college with Paul Allen, who helped start Microsoft with Bill Gates. And I knew him from school. I was the leader. I was the president of our county fraternity, also the social chairman and everything else. So Paul, when I was getting, I worked on a couple of projects for him while I was in the service. And when I got out, he said, hey, do you want to work for the Seahawks on the campaign to keep the team from moving to LA back in 97? So I did. And he said, you know, I want this team to be a factor on and off the field. He had a big heart for the community. And I got to be his community guy right away. So I love him for that, and I appreciate him so deeply for that. But for us, we get to work with people in every different element. We try and focus on youth, inspiring youth, bringing them to a certain understanding. Like I said, we want to inculcate into them a belief that they can do things and also a compassion for each other. We work with groups like Athletes for Kids, who takes high school girls and boys, successful athletes, and has them mentor younger kids who are maybe autistic or have other difficulties, to bring respect to that younger child. And one time I was at an annual event for Athletes for Kids, and this young woman got up there to talk. She was a great basketball player, and she said, high school basketball player, and she said, everybody thought I had life made when I was in school, but I didn't. I was very unsure of myself. And then I joined Athletes for Kids and became a mentor to a child with Down syndrome. And she said, then I learned what I was all about.
Wow. And these experiences that you have with the Seahawks, even though it's out in the community, you're still serving large groups, yet coming away from them with one-on-one relationships, yes?
Yeah, there's we've got, my wife and I have so many relationships now that have developed out of a phone call to the Seahawks about some situation that someone was in. And we have people young and old. I mean, I've met veterans, a man who fought in World War II and just passed away this past spring, became a friend, and young women and men who we've met through various tough things they were going through. Sometimes I became their friend, and then my wife inherits the relationship and keeps it going. So that's the beauty. And, you know, I read Richard Rohr almost every day, Father Richard Rohr. And he talks about how when we connect with each other based on each other's true selves, we're at a deeper level where love, compassion, wisdom, and beauty live. And so for my wife and I to be able to experience those things with the people that we meet is critical to us. And it's also critical to every other member of this community outreach team. That's why we do what we do. And it's good for the team because it lives up to Paul Allen's goal that we're a factor on and off the field.
Just beautiful. Just beautiful. In the first half of the show, you told us about your guiding spirit: seek wisdom, act with confidence and compassion. There's also something else that you live by that has to do with the word respect.
Yeah, that's a Pete Carroll mantra that you should respect everyone and every opportunity. And that gets back to competing in a way that you should be able to factor that into every relationship you have. And not everybody does it, but I think we can get better and better over time that even if the people that seem to be a pain in the neck, you can find something in common and respect them and respect the opportunity that you've got to make a difference for them and whoever they're working with.
And it's interesting that that would come from the head coach, because I think for the uninitiated to hear that, they would say, well, wait a minute, I want to go out and beat my opponent. That's right, you do, but you still should be respectful of them. But it's amazing how that really fits nicely with the community outreach program, because it does continue those values, like you said, that started from Paul Allen down. And being able to go out and respect the people you're working with and maybe teach them about respect along the way.
Yeah, you hope that guys can understand another one of Pete's mantras in his language of the Seahawks is competition means striving for something, not striving against something. Strive to be your best.
Wow. Folks, I often tell people that the ministry moment that you hear me do before the guest intro and the guest interview each week is given to me by God. I always laugh and say, I'm not smart enough to come up with that week after week, month after month. The Lord obviously had a plan for this episode because you heard me in my ministry moment cite Proverbs 28:19, and lo and behold, it turns out that Mike has a couple passages from the Bible that he says reached him deeply 40 years ago. And yes, that text also comes from Proverbs. Mike?
Yeah, I think, it's funny. I was kind of a crazy kid in grade school. My mom was really worried about me getting confirmed. I think she was crying. She thought I wouldn't pass the test for confirmation in 7th grade. She was crying. It made me feel bad. But I got 100 on that test because I actually really enjoyed that. And I didn't always live with wisdom during my years. But in about 1981, I got the Bible out. We were stationed in Florida just before I got out and crop dusted. And I started reading Proverbs 8, and it just struck me again, just like it probably did when I was in 7th grade. And I give it to other people if I think they really care. I print that out and give it to them. But in short, it says, "Does not wisdom call and understanding lift up her voice?" And then in Proverbs 8, 22, it says, "The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. From everlasting I was established, from the beginning, from the earliest times on earth, when there were no depths," etc. And so I believe that wisdom runs through everything that we see and do. And I'm trying to find that. I'm seeking that. I consider myself a Christian in progress, but that's why I seek wisdom and then act with confidence and kindness.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. You mentioned something to me the other day about servers in a restaurant, ushers, Uber drivers, a person in the checkout line. I understand you have some recent story you'd like to share in that regard.
From really, if you're competing, you can learn something from everybody you talk to and share something too. And yesterday I was getting my teeth cleaned, and the woman who cleans them, we've talked before. She's a wonderful person, but man, she's gone through some hard times in her family. So just listening to her, when we were done, I said, I really don't remember how my teeth were doing, but I do remember that I learned things from you today. And she said, "What's that?" And I said that you're a kind person who deals with a lot of things in a compassionate and a wise way. And so I do believe that. And from our ushers at the stadium, I've talked to them. You heard amazing stories. A guy behind me in the checkout line a couple weekends ago, I heard him say something to the cashier. So I leaned back and I said, "So, where were you born?" And he says, "In the Philippines. And I was a prisoner in World War II of the Japanese and saved at the very last minute. We were going to die, and we were saved by Americans parachuting in." So, just to, if you ask people a little bit about their lives, you can hear some amazing stories and learn things that fulfill you.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. And I was very surprised myself. It was very fascinating to learn a few weeks ago when my guest was racing legend Mario Andretti, and he talked about being in a refugee camp before his family came to the United States. So, you know, things are not always what they appear. You look at him as an auto racing icon, and you find out that there's this backstory, and it is as simple as, yes, the person in the checkout line behind you, they may not be what they appear, and there could be some really fascinating stories if you go in with a servant's heart and we're all created equal and listen to what other people have to say.
Yeah, that's well said.
Well, as we get ready to close, I do want to give you a chance not only to talk about your wife and kids, but even about your mom as well and the unique environment that you're in when you go to mass with her.
Oh, yeah. Her health has declined. She's 94. Well, she'll be 94 in a week. But she moved into Providence, Mount St. Vincent, which has various levels of care. It's a Catholic retirement home that my mom and dad, my dad passed away in 2010, but they supported that cause. We went to fundraisers for them, and now my mom is there, and she's up in the wing. They gave her a little bit of special treatment. She's up in the wing where retired nuns live. So, and they have a chapel right there on that wing. They have another big one downstairs. But anyhow, I go to church with her sometimes over there, and I'm the only guy in the chapel. It's all still socially distant, except I've been able to sit next to my mom, so after the Our Father, we can hold hands. But the priest, a wonderful guy, and he always says, "My sisters and my brother," since I'm the only guy in the chapel, and I always give him a little smile at that point. But it's cool to be there with my mom. First of all, you know, a lot of those nuns and my mom don't, their memories aren't very good, but man, in church, they're right on it. They get it, and I love being in that environment.
Yeah, that's nice. That's nice. But please continue. I want to hear about your marriage and your children, and I believe you're even a grandfather.
Yeah, we've got a few grandkids now, and it's really fun to everybody that's got grandkids knows that it's fun and challenging. You have to help at the right time, but it's not as time consuming as when they're your own kids. But my wife, we've been married since, well, 47 years now, and like I said, we share things. I've told her, I said, let's instead of just getting old and retiring and going on vacations, let's just keep doing things with people and for people, because it's much more fulfilling to be engaged like that. And so she, like I said, she carries on a lot of the relationships that we've developed, not just with our own kids, but with other people. And so then we can share stories about how those people are doing and how we're doing as a result of our relationship with them. So we have a, and I love her family too. We have a very good time together.
And you have two children, I believe.
Yeah, we have a our son that we adopted in Kansas and our daughter that we adopted in North Carolina.
And they've both made you grandparents, or just one of them?
Yeah, both of them have, and they've also in their 30s. They both are. My son is completing his college degree now and has a great job, but our daughter completed her college degree last summer at age 34 and now is teaching and loves it. It was her passion. It turned out to be the right thing for her. She's enjoyed this year immensely, and that makes us happy to see them finding fulfilling things to do with their lives. And they're both kind people too, and so are their spouses. So we're very happy about that.
Yeah, because in the case of your daughter, I think it's good testimony to the fact that we don't always find our calling at a young age. It could be later in life that you finally know what you're destined for, just like yourself going through the crop dusting incident and then later finding out this is why the Lord got me through that, because I did become an adoptive father and because I did
Yeah.
have all these years of community service to give to the Seahawks.
Yeah, it's sometimes we're fortunate to be where we are. I had other career ideas in mind, but one way, but I was working construction. That's another thing that I got through college with and I learned to be tough. But I was flying up and I was working up in Port Angeles and I saw the Coast Guard flying off the coast there and I thought, man, that's what I'd really like to do. And an interesting story about that, when I was a little kid, my dad had a friend who had been a Navy pilot in Korea. And he used to take me down to the Navy base there and show me the old airplanes, and that really got me interested in flying as a 4, 5, 6 year old. So then I'm getting my hair cut about 10 years ago in a little shop in Kirkland, Washington, and this guy comes in, and I never wore my Navy flak jacket, but I wore it that day, and it's hanging on the tree by the door. And this guy comes in and he sees the coat and he reads the name tag, and it's a Navy flight jacket, but it says U.S. Coast Guard on my name tag. And he says, "Hey, I had a buddy whose kid became a Navy Coast Guard pilot." And I looked at him and I said, "Who was it?" Because I thought I recognized him. And he says, "His name is George Flood." I said, "That's my dad. You're Harry Patton."
Oh my gosh. Wow. Wow. So
And
cool.
I got to thank him for helping me.
Well, folks, as we get ready to close here, you know that on past episodes, there have been times when a guest has had a particular situation that we've prayed for. For instance, I'm pleased to report that quite recently, John Chick, his wife, did give birth to their 10th child. You might remember my recent interview with John. He spent some time playing for the Jacksonville Jaguars, and he also played in the CFL. And he talked on that episode about the 9 children that he had and the 10th that was on the way. And so I'm pleased to report that that was a healthy and successful birth. And so, Mike, in your case, how can we pray for you with regards to your Crohn's disease?
I'm fortunate through that I gain wisdom out of it, but I'd rather pray that we better understand everyone we meet.
Okay. Beautiful. I like it. I like it. Well, Mike, thank you so much for making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio. It was great to talk to you, and thank you for all the service that you're doing for the community there in Seattle through the Seahawks. God bless you and your family.
God bless you, Bruce, and thank you for what you do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And folks, let's close out this week with our sportsman's prayer and do it, of course, together in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, you have blessed us with our minds, our spirits, and our bodies. Help us always to be good sports. Help us to understand that when we put on the team uniform, we are first and foremost ambassadors of the Catholic faith. May we always remember that those with whom we play and compete are our brothers and sisters in Christ. May we always treat each other with dignity and respect. May our work and play always give you honor and glory. This we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at CatholicSportsRadio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those. CATH, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.